It gave me great pleasure to give these remarks on behalf of His Excellency President Salva Kiir Mayardit, who, due to present domestic issues, could not be present today among you. Firstly, I wish to thank all donors and partners here today and the organizers of this high-level event on humanitarian situation in South Sudan. Your solidarity and commitment to restoring the dignity of our people and finding sustainable solution to humanitarian crisis is a good foundation in our guess for nation building. South Sudan is committed to restoring peace, and in this regard, the leadership of the country, both President Salva Kiir Mayardit and myself, as partners of peace, have agreed that there is no other viable option. As leadership in South Sudan, we share a good working relationship with the overriding goal of the transitional government of national unity to bring peace in South Sudan. We have no other option but to bring peace to the country. War is not an option. The government of national unity is also committed to the IGAD high-level revitalization forum and willing to have dialogue with opposition groups, while the transitional government of national unity is expected to extend an olive branch. The same is expected of the armed opposition groups. The TIGONO is committed to reaching out to people that are interested in dialogue. The national dialogue, a complementary peace process to the agreement, is making steady and strong progress with regard to creating an enabling environment for dialogue. Among others, progress included recusal of the president as patron of the dialogue, release of prisoners, including journalists, expansion of the steering committee to include all the relevant constituencies in the country, and ongoing reach out to opposing figures. The government is committed to creating an enabling environment for dialogue and a necessary together and unreservedly together with relevant institutions like the Assembly, adopting and implementing the resolution of the national dialogue. We urge partners to consider supporting the national dialogue. As I said earlier, the national dialogue is making steady progress. It is showing positive signs. What it is lacking now, it is support. It is only being supported by Japan and Germany. We are urging our partners, especially Troika, to support the national dialogue process. The grassroots peace initiative needed to be emulated where success has been witnessed. Emphasis that ongoing community conflict, sometimes caused by cattle rustling, child abduction. Steve Wright Price note that it is absolutely important to find a way to transform the way communities interact with each other. And the international community should pay attention and invest in effort to address this local conflict. The government, with the support of partners like UNMISS, UNDP, Japan, Germany, Oxfam, are making investment in improving the economic activities between the communities, like building markets, schools, fishing storage facilities. Youth entrepreneurship have improved relationship between warring communities and host communities of the IDPs. These activities of the recovering the projects, they are also helping to cement peace. And I'm very happy to mention the support of UNMISS and UNDP in this regard. On the dire economic situation, biggest spoiler of peace process could turn out to be the economy. The current crisis in the unfortunate outcome of the failure of the development to reconcile political differences and grievances. Resolving conflict requires not a quick fix, but requires sustainable investment to stabilize the economy. It is imperative to protect and incentive peace and stability by having a balanced approach to development. On the access to humanitarian relief, my government is committed to ensuring humanitarian access is guaranteed to all. While it is important to save life, it is also important to save livelihoods. In this regard, we need to consider a balanced approach of both humanitarian and development in order to make peace a sustainable event, a sustainable project. We also urge partners to consider allowing the protection of humanitarian convoys by government in areas where it is considered relatively unsafe, or in order to mitigate the incidence of deaths of aid workers and destruction of humanitarian relief. Your Excellency, we are being blamed of South Sudan being insecure country. Yes, this is true, South Sudan is insecure. But to be fair here, these agencies, in most cases, they don't allow the protection of our police or the protection of the convoy by our police or by our army. David is here, can testify to this. Sometimes they even refuse the protection of enemies. So when you go on your own in a country which is not safe, and wear arms in the hand in so many criminals, because in South Sudan, maybe 50% of the civilians are having firearms. In an hand of people who are not disciplined, who are not military trained. So how do we guarantee your safety? We have been offering to them that, look, where you go into a hostile environment, we protect you, we protect your convoy, or seek protection of enemies. This is not accepted. So what do we do then? I think a time has come that the government should provide protection to the convoys. In the event that government cannot do, enemies can come in. We have been doing this in the Lifeline Operation Lifeline Sudan. When release used to cross from government of Sudan territories, the protection is given by the government of Sudan. Once they arrive to the SPLA areas, then the protection is turned over to the SPLA. I think we should do the same. South Sudan, yes, I agree with you, is a hostile place. It is the only country that child abduction is being practiced. All of us, we have tried to solve all this issue before the independent, but we have a long way to go. I think this is a very important issue. It's not that we are allowing the relief agencies into a dead zone, but the fact that they don't allow us to protect them is an issue that needs to be addressed. In this regard, we wish to appreciate our neighbors Uganda, Kenya, Sudan, and Ethiopia, who have opened up their territories to host South Sudanese refugees and open several humanitarian corridors through to South Sudan. On the relationship with UNMISS, the transitional government of National Unity has a good working relationship with UNMISS and also committed to full deployment of the RPF. Considering the UNMISS leadership on effectively using RPF outside Juba, as Juba is now a relatively secure city. This point, when the idea of deploying RPF, it was meant for Juba. But as I'm speaking to you now, Juba is much secure. We don't want also to waste resources. We don't want to deploy 4,000 troops where they have nothing to do. I hope we shall agree one day with David so that we can also use these RPF forces in places like highway, protection of convoys, relief convoys, and also we may reconsider deployment of RPF in a more flush areas like Yei, like Kajukaje, for example. Because if you put 4,000 in Juba, you pay them, give them a lot of resources, but they have nothing to do. I think we should put them to use. On the protection, we are all much open to listening, to counsel, and join action. But we also expect our partners to acknowledge and reciprocate progress, demonstrate some sense of respect and trust, and avert confrontational approach, risk creation, a siege, and bunker mentality. Your Excellencies, yes, there's no full peace yet in South Sudan, but I can talk with authority that things are changing to a positive turn. Peace is returning. There are many IDPs, many refugees, many villages who are returning to their homes in Great Upper Nile and in Bargazal and also in Equatoria. We need your support. Peace is not one-day business. Peace is a process, is a build-up of positive things. Sanction will not make any good thing to South Sudan, but support and criticizing where it is necessary so that we improve our efficiency, that will help the country. I thank you very much.